This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations. Commenting on the four capitals involved in the Ukraine conflict, we turn now to Kyiv. The significant turn on the battlefield this last week has not been the battlefront with the soldiers advancing in the Kharkiv Oblast or the Kherson Oblast, but the use of drones. We're told drones purchased from Iran to destroy, one by one, the power stations and infrastructure of Ukraine. President Zelensky commented midweek that 30% of the power stations were destroyed or damaged by these drones that are loitering, they're low-flying, they're very difficult to block with high technology. In fact, people can shoot at them from the ground with sidearms, but in any event, there are lots of them. We're also told that the Russians are using Iranian experts, Iranian guidance to direct these drones. They can be directed from Belarus or Russia. You don't need to be in the combat zone. There's also a threat midweek to the hydroelectric dam and the irrigation dam in Ukraine. The Russians are said to have stocked it with explosives. Again, we don't know if it's accurate or not. There's just that report. So, Professor, Kyiv's point of view in this week of threatening to take down the electricity grid and destroy fresh water.
Well, the Kyiv is still in a strong position. I would say it's important to remember that Ukraine is bigger than France, and these drones, although they're very, very damaging, will be controlled. They're not magical. And there's a lot of technical work right now going on how to stop them. And there's one country in particular that probably knows a lot. I don't want Iran or Israel to be involved in Ukraine, but we have a terrible danger of escalation. However, the Israelis are probably the world's leading experts on how to get rid of these drones. And I expect, just as you wouldn't think that you could use drone attacks to bring France to her knees, I think likewise, drone attacks are not going to bring Ukraine to her knees, although they will do terrible damage. One thing we learned in World War II was how quickly infrastructure can be repaired, how much production can be done, even in conditions of constant aerial attack. In the Third Reich, 1944 was the year of the highest industrial production and military production. Remember that even though we were sending hundreds and sometimes 1,000 bombers over and blowing up and burning up everything we could, they nonetheless successfully constructed the V-2 rocket, which was a great breakthrough. And if Hitler had known a little more physics, they would have had a nuclear bomb for it. But as it was a very expensive delivery vehicle for a bomb that could be dropped from a plane. Now, you also mentioned the Battle of Kherson, which is going on right now, is, to my mind, the most important thing on the map as we speak. The Ukrainians have imposed a complete news blackout over this whole southwestern area. That means that they are up to something. What they're probably doing, we have to understand the importance of Kherson. Kherson is a city on the Ukrainian mainland, north of Crimea, very much to the west, very close to where the Black Sea takes over and Crimea stops. It is important because it is the junction point at which the waters, which are stopped quite a bit to the east at the Kakhovka Dam, are and then flow through the North Crimea Canal through Ukraine proper. This is the point at which the waters are diverted south into Crimea. And this Kakhovka Dam was built in 1956, and its purpose was to relieve the chronic aridity of Crimea, which rendered agriculture very, very difficult. But if that dam is destroyed, and you mentioned that the Russians are said to have wired it for destruction, well, if the Russians blow it up, or if the Ukrainians blow it up, the result will be the same, which is that there will be terrible, terrible, disastrous flooding. But the second point will be that there will be no more water supply for Crimea. There'll be no more irrigation water. There'll be no more drinking water. And this was already a terrible problem until the Russians captured Kherson, which was the first provincial capital they captured in Ukraine. Perhaps even more worrying is that the source of coolant water for the Zaporizhia power plant, nuclear power plant, is the same one. It comes from this large reservoir above the Kakhovka Dam. So what I suspect the Crimeans, what the Ukrainians are doing, is that they are making a flanking movement. The Russian mercenaries have set up a kind of a short line, north-south, that's designed to make advance on Kherson, complete advance, difficult, and keep their troops safe. But I think that this is only of limited length, and it's not particularly fortified. I think the Ukrainians are probably moving to the south of it, and then they will strike northward. And all the indications are that that Moscow has decided to let Kherson go. The simple reason being that they can't hold it. The Ukrainians have it on three sides, and it's impossible to get supplies there. So in the next few days, I suspect that the Crimea, the Ukrainians, are going to have control of Kherson. Now, if that is the case, then they will be in a position, and this is what I think they will do, they will move into Crimea, and they will cut off the water themselves, or the Russians will have cut it off for them, and I think that they will have a very good chance of deoccupying Crimea. There are already long, mile-long lines of automobiles of Russians fleeing Crimea. The Russian puppet government in Kherson and the military officials associated with it are already being evacuated to the east. You can only go so far east, though, before you come to the Russian frontier. And if you cross the Russian frontier, then I suppose you're safe, but you also then don't have any power in Ukraine. So I think that the Ukrainians they are simply not going to be intimidated the way I think perhaps the Russians are hoping to coerce the Ukrainians, is to use threats to other countries and the threat of escalation to pressure the United States to then pressure Ukraine. And I think that international opinion, although it is vociferous, is such that for us to reverse our policy on Ukraine is really impossible. What we have to do is just keep what we've been doing.
Professor H.J. Mackinder, international relations, commenting on the key point of view during Ukraine conflict. We turn now to a much more complicated story, the Brussels point of view, because it involves not only NATO, but also the EU, facing a winter without adequate energy. Some countries are richer than others, however, and therein lies a puzzle. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.